and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Need him right now tonight. Sing it again now. I need you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord, we need you tonight. I lift my hands and bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Let's do just a closer walk with thee. Be glad. Amen. How many want a closer walk with him tonight? Amen. Let's sing that song to him. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Lord, let's sing it to him now. Yeah. A closer walk with thee. Granny Jesus is my plea. Yes, Lord. And daily walking close. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. And through this world of toils and snares, if I fall, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. A close walk with thee. Granny Jesus is my plea. And they close to you. and when my feeble life is o'er, raise our hands tonight as we sing it to Him. And just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Lord, that we might walk close to You. Grant Jesus is my plea. And daily walk close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Praise the Lord. Give Him a good hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's do that. Nothing but the blood is effort. Anyone? Triumph. Amen. Let's sing this song tonight, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. As you worship Him tonight, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is that blow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thought of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. And no other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Give Him another good hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise His name tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the service tonight. It's good to be here to worship the Lord. It's our sole purpose tonight to worship Him and give Him praise, honor, and glory. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Anwar to come tonight as we take our request. And I don't have any up here. I was looking for the ones from this morning, but I don't see them anywhere. Let's remember Brother David Morlier tonight. He's not feeling well, running the fever, and pray God would give him a touch. Amen. You remember the others, any of them? Brother Billy Ivey sick. We want to remember Brother Billy Ivey again tonight as we pray. Maybe you have an unspoken request tonight. As Brother Anwar comes, let's sing that song. Bring all your needs to the altar. Amen.
Bring all your needs to the altar. Bring all your needs to the Lord. For He is a willing and a our dear precious Heavenly Father, it is so much privilege to be in your presence this evening once again, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, thank you for all your mercies and grace that you shower upon your people, Lord Jesus. And with the faith, we not only find the grace and mercies, but the needs that we bring in front of you, Lord Jesus, today. We bind our faith together, Lord Jesus, trusting and knowing that you are the wonderful God who can provide us abundantly. So Lord Jesus, all the needs that your people have in their hearts, Lord, for those who are sick, have any physical issues, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I want and I request your healing touch right now in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be healed in your mighty Jesus name, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we are needy people, Lord Jesus. So many needs your people have in their hearts and in their minds, Lord Jesus. In this daily life, when people have so many battles, so many fights to fight, but you are the one, Lord Jesus, who can give us more than victory, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Lord Jesus, bring everybody that are asking and looking your mercy, Lord Jesus, right now. Provide them their needs, Lord. Those who are traveling, Lord Jesus, those who are away, cannot be in this service, although they wanted to be, Lord Jesus, but wherever they are, Lord, reach to them and give them comfort and peace, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, once again for that trust and faith upon you, Lord Jesus, for we believe that you have already provided everything we ask in your precious Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
sing it one more time. So
bring all who needs to the altar. Bring all who needs to the Lord. He is so willing and able to help you. Bring all your needs to the Lord.
Amen. You can be seated tonight. Brother Keith's going to sing for us.
I started out to win this race, to serve the Lord and to look upon His face. But the way got hard and the way got tough. But there's one thing for sure, I've got my mind made up. Well, I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through a lonesome valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, when the devil comes a knocking, showing me another way, I'll stand right square on my feet. I'll hold my head in the air. I'll look him straight in the eye and say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Now Job was a man who was tempted in every way. The devil took his family. He lay sick both night and day. Then his wife, she came a-saying, curse your God, you've had enough. He said, you talk like a foolish woman. I've got my mind made up. Well, I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through a lonesome valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, when the devil comes a-knocking, showing me an easier way, I'll stand right square on my feet. I'll hold my head in the air. I'll look him straight in the eye and say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. He will tempt you. He'll fill your way with strife. He'll make you sick in body. He may try to take your life. But put your trust in Jesus and say, Satan, I've had enough. Then Jesus will say, move over, Satan. He's got his mind made up. Well, I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through a lonesome valley, though I drink from a bitter cup, when the devil comes a-knocking, showing me an easier way, I'll stand right square on my feet. I'll hold my head in the air. I'll look him straight in the eye and say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Well, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through a lonesome valley, though I drink from a bitter cup, when the devil comes a-knocking, showing me another way, I'll stand right square on my feet. I'll hold my head in the air. I'll look him straight in the eye and say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Yes, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Got my mind made up. Amen. I like that. Let's sing that song, Shout to the Lord, B flat. We'll go ahead and ask our ushers to come at this time, if they would, as we worship the Lord in our giving tonight. Amen. Go ahead, let's stand tonight as we receive the offering. Amen. Brother Andy, if you would, pray over the offering tonight. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I'll sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Let's sing it one more time now. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the sing power and majesty. Mountains bow down and the sea will roar at the sound of your name. I'll sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. No, nothing compares to the promise I have.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the promises that are becoming realities to us. But Lord, we have not attained them all. Pray now that you would give us faith, Lord, to step towards the next promise that's due the bride of Christ. We love you. We thank you. We give you this service. We give you each one, Lord, who is hurting, needs a healing touch. those that are, Lord, mourning the loss of a loved one, we place our needs into your hands in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Let's take your Bibles while you're standing, and let's go right to the Word. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, Brother Keith. Good to have you back. We're going to the book of Isaiah. And you're going to need to have your Bible tonight. We're going to look at one verse, one little chapter together, Isaiah chapter 61. This is a very well-known passage, and you'll see it right away, because this is the passage that Jesus read when he went into the temple in Luke chapter 4 and read the scroll as it was handed to him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That dealt with the first coming. The second coming now carries on through the end of the chapter. I'd like to read the last verse. And as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. May the Lord add his blessing, and may be seated. Now, Brother Wayne did not have the prayer request tonight because he didn't even know he was leading the service. So let me very quickly here. Sister Mary Smith is up for surgery on Tuesday afternoon. We don't know exactly what time yet. Brother Billy Ivy is not very well, so we want to remember him. We also want to remember Sister Tracy Raven and her mother. We want to remember Brother Fulcher. And we also want to remember the Brown family, Stephen and Sarah, who are traveling down from Virginia. We want to remember Sister Sarah Vasaki, who's away visiting her family, the Cockmans, who are in Scotland, Andrew and Caitlin Sylvester, who made it out to Arizona and are frying out there with everybody else, Angela Pritchard, who's in Georgia, the Franklins as well, Sister Marianne, and the many others who are not here tonight, and some are away. And you know what? I would just say this, that, you know, Mother's Day especially is a day when I know, you know, folks like to come to church, but they also like to visit their mom and be with family on that day. And it may be a day where we, you know, we could have one service, because that would free people up to go and be able to visit their families. And that's okay. But I don't know that unless two things. Number one, I do the mind reading course. Or number two, you tell me. So if you're away or planning to be away to visit family on a day like Mother's Day, let me know. Let me know in advance, and then we can maybe adjust the schedule. Would that be all right? And there's only a handful here tonight, so you got to amen. All right, you got to. I'll feel like I'm all alone. We also want to remember Brother David. Now, Sister Karen, if you don't mind for a minute, I'm going to put you on the spot here. We had a raging controversy at lunch about how you pronounce your last name. All right, so we want you to say your last name correctly. Morlier. Hello. That's the first time I've heard it officially pronounced that way. I've always called it David Morglea. That's how people mostly would say it, right? It's Morlia. Morlier. Morlier. Wow. That's great, and I appreciate that. Sorry to put you on the spot. We also want to acknowledge, I did not do a good job of talking about Mother's Day today, and I apologize for that. But I do believe that mothers play a very important role. They're very special and precious to us. And I did not mention all that I should have today about Mother's Day, and part of it was because I was up late last night, and I was just... We're running on an average of 5 hours of sleep, 5-6 hours of sleep, and I'm not complaining at all. I'm just saying that it's been a very these are challenging times that our family is living in, and so I don't always get to think through everything like I would normally do it. But I did want to acknowledge our new mothers, and I wrote a note to Sister Caitlin Florian today, and then also Sister Kristen, and their new mothers this year, and we congratulate them. And it's a wonderful blessing and a wonderful challenge, but we're excited for them. Also, too, I did not mention properly this morning that with all the other things that she had to do, Sister Becky managed to get a flower down to everybody, all the mothers here, and had some help in doing that. But she's just quite an amazing young girl at organizing things and remembering everything that needed to be done and getting those flowers here for you on time. And that's something that we traditionally like to do, and just a little token to the mothers. And I think it's a nice thing to do, and she does that. So if you are a mother and you got a flower today, you ought to text her or do something and just let her know that that's appreciated, if you appreciate it. I even tried to give some away to the guys. Austin wouldn't take one here, and, you know, I couldn't get him to get interested in one. But for the mothers, you know, that's a nice thing to do. But I appreciate Sister Becky's care for the work folk, the local folks, and she certainly thinks of you. I think it's a blessing to be able to minister to families and individuals within families. There's some other things that I wanted to say, but we have service on Wednesday night, so we're probably going to carry on and deal with this subject on Wednesday night as well. Perhaps we'll just see how the Lord directs for Wednesday night. Now, let's take a look at this, because this is number one. It's not going to be long. Number two, this is a thought here, especially at the beginning, that every single member of the Bride of Christ needs to experience. So it's important. All right? So I want you to follow me here in the beginning as we look at this. In the Uniting Time in 1963, Brother Branham said, "Never before since the early church was the pillar of fire ever among the people. Never before since the early church did they see the things that we're seeing today. And this was only made possible when God sent the seven seals, when that event took place." Brother Branham's giving this comment after the opening of the seven seals. No matter how much we talk about it, we really underscore the significance of that event. It really is a critical event, and it was a critical junction in time. So it's very important. And Brother Branham's telling us that not since the early church, not since the days when pillar of fire appeared in the upper room and it appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus and so forth, and we saw those things happen where the Holy Spirit was directly, personally involved in the actions of the church and the movement of the church and the evolution of the church. Never before have we entered into a day like that day until now. And the seals triggered that, all of that happening. And we know that God was dealing with Brother Branham just prior to the opening of the seals and shaping his ministry to that end. But never before have we seen this kind of activity personally, where it's not, you know, not some distant prophecy, but this is the Holy Spirit himself coming down into Brother Branham's room, telling him, "Don't say that, say this." And giving him the direct words he wants us to hear. Because the rest of the world is not interested. They don't care. They've tuned out. But this is for the Bride of Christ, right? Put it in book form, seven seals, we got it. I mean, it's really quite an amazing thing. And he says, never before, 2,000 years have passed, we've never seen that, and now it's made possible, now it's happening. He says, and prophecy fulfills, prophecy never fails. It cannot, the Word of God can't fail. And everybody said, amen. So therefore, if the Word promises it, it's got to come to pass. All right, take your Bible. Here's where everyone in the message, everyone who identifies themselves with the message of the hour, this is your moment. I've read this story for you before. I've preached on this story before, and you're going to be familiar with it. It's the story of King Josiah. But I want to highlight something here that we all need to know and be reminded of. 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings right after 1 Kings. Right? Which is right before, or right after 2 Samuel. Guess what comes before that? You got it? Everybody got it? Josiah. The name means whom Jehovah heals. Was 8 years old when he began to reign. Yes, that's right. He was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. So by the time he's 39, he's at the end of his reign, which is an amazing thing. And his mother was Jedidah. It was his mother, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. So Josiah comes in an unusual way, at an unusual time. He's only 8 years old. He's at a time of great disrepair in the temple, and a time when Israel had sinned. They'd gotten away from the proper order that God had established for temple worship. You know the story. And when the king had commissioned that the temple be restored and cleaned and set in order again, you know, he called for his scribes and he said, hey, you know, let's find workers and send them into the temple for cleansing, purifying. And he hires a man. And this man is like an overseer of the work. And so the overseer goes in one day and he's also the check writer for the construction project. And he goes in, he's going to start paying people who are in there. And when he's inside the temple, in the midst of the construction, somebody from inside the temple comes out to him and says, hey, boss, we found the book. We found the book of the law. It was buried in the rubble. It's always been there, but it's been buried in the rubble, and we found it. We thought you ought to have it. But he looks at the book, and he sees, wow, this is the writings of Moses. This is the first five. This is an important document. And he realizes, you know, the significance of the find. And he goes to the king. King now is a young man. We don't know exactly how old he is at this moment. But he's a young man. He's a Jew. He's the king of Israel. He's been in Israel all of his life. Raised as a Jew. He's got some sense of the ordinances and the laws. And now this foreman comes to him with the book. And he says, here's the book. What book? The book of the law. Moses' writings, the first five. They found it in the rubble in the temple. And we thought you should have it. King looks at him and he says, start reading. And he stands there and he starts to recite the book. He starts to recite the laws of the book. He begins to read it, and probably took hours and hours and hours for him to sit there and listen to the book. And in verse 11 of the same chapter, in verse 11, it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. Now you got to think about this now. The book's always been there. Israel always has been there. The temple's always been there. He's only a lad, so this is a short lifespan for him. But now all of a sudden, the hearing of the words of the book impact him. In other words, the book comes open to him. Everybody hearing me? This is not just, hey, you guys, how many 8-year-olds do we have here in the church? Let's see your hands if you're 8 years old. All right. Yeah. Are you 8? Really? Always been around the message. All you young people, basically, been around the message and raised in the message. Never known anything else. You've never been in a Pentecostal revival, probably. Never been, in a Baptist church and spent your years. Most of you young people have never done that. You've always been around the message. But one day, we pray, the message will move you when you hear it. We pray that one day it'll so grip your heart that you'll say like he did. He rent his clothes and he realized, wow, if this is true, we've really blown it. As a people, we've really blown it. Look at where the book has been. It's been under a pile of rubble over the last so many years. We don't know how long that the temple's been in disrepair. But all of a sudden, they find the book and they resurrect the book. Remember now, this is not a new book that's arrived by courier. This is a book that they've always had. But they so disregarded the book, it became so common to them that it never had any effect on them. Why read it? I mean, why even bother to go get it? And it was buried under all the rubble of life. And finally, they bring it out. And the hearing of the words of the book now all of a sudden gripped his heart, and he was moved by the hearing of the words of God. And he realized, wow, if these words are true, if indeed they are right, you know what? We got to act on this. If the words of the book are right, we got to pay our tithes. If the words of the book are right, we got to get saved. If the words of the book are right, we got to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the words of the book are right, you know what? We are justified as though we never did it in the first place. If the words of the book are right, then we've got to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. Amen. And so on and so on. We pray. I pray a lot that my words, which are when I repeat the words of the book, whether they're the Bible or the message, I pray that it grips someone's heart. I pray that it grips someone's heart online. We have a great audience, a large audience that listen to our archives and online, and you know, ask for sermons and so forth. It sometimes it shocks me at the number of people who are listening and request certain things. You know, hear about certain things. It's in an offering for mission work that's done. It never ceases to amaze me. But, you know, it's not about how many people you can reach. It's not about how many people are sitting in your church. It's not about how great things you can do. That's not it. It's how the Word of God impacts individual hearts for the kingdom. So now all of a sudden they take the Word of God seriously. And I refer to that in one phrase as the opening of the book, when the book comes open to you. Here's a king raised in the message. He was a Jew all of his life, right? He was raised around it. All of a sudden, the book comes open. All of a sudden, it becomes real. It becomes personal. Skip down in the same chapter there to verse 18. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him. Now, here's what happens. Let me finish the story real briefly. You ought to read this story, all right? You all ought to read this story, but you young people ought to especially read it. He hears the words of the book, he rips his garment, and he says, wow, you know, this is really true, but we got to have a witness. So he gets all the people together, and he calls for the prophet, and he says to the prophet, I want you to go to God for us. If you don't mind, inquire before the Lord and ask him, do you think we could squeeze in? I mean, do you think there's any mercy left for us? Do you think if we did all we could and got everything as right as we possibly could, that there'd be a little sliver of mercy for us, do you think, in this late last hour, that maybe God would show a little mercy to us if we adhered to the words of the book and we repented for our sins and so forth? Prophet says, I don't know, but I'll go ask God. He goes to ask God, and then he comes back. This is what he says. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. When thou hearest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that thou should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Everything I said about it, about Israel and their waywardness in the book, it is correct. All that judgment stuff, yeah, that's right. All the things about tribulation, you got it. But he says, because your heart was tender, because you have an openness to truth, because you're willing to repent, and you're not telling me what I need to do. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. You can imagine how the king must have let out this sigh. And the people let out a collective sigh and went like this. Skin of their teeth. They have mercy extended to them by a prophet. And the prophet says to them, to the king, you'll die in peace. You will not die as a renegade, an outcast. You'll not die as one under judgment from God. You'll die in peace. Can you imagine how that king now must have got up the next day and said, all right, what can we do for God? What can we do to make things right? What can I do to stimulate the people in service for God? How can we change things so that the blessing of the Almighty is upon our kingdom? What can we do now to make our God intervene on behalf of the enemies of the kingdom of Israel? What can we do, Lord, in your will? Show us your will. Teach us your will. We're listening. We're open. Our hearts are tender towards you. You can imagine how his attitude must have been. He would not have said, oh, wow, great. Hey, mercy. Mercy's come my way. Hey, great. I wonder who's playing tonight in the NBA. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying. I'm being a little sarcastic. But you understand what I'm saying. His attitude must have been one of gratefulness because now the book is open to him. If we don't get anything else out of tonight's sermon, you need to get that. That we pray Hey, look, it's a great thing to sit and hear great things, but it means nothing to you until you take the book yourself out of the rubble of life and open it up, and the Holy Spirit quickens that word to your heart. That's what you got to have, guys. We don't ever have a fellowship hall. If we don't ever have, hundreds of thousands of people, you know, that's one thing. But if we got a handful of people who love the Word of God with a passion, and the Word means something to them, you know what? I think we would be deemed successful. Not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God. You parents ought to be praying every time your kids get their hands on the Bible or every time they come to church. You ought to be praying, Lord, touch my child's heart today. Touch my grandchild's heart today. Make the Word live in us, Lord. Make the Word live in my family. Lord, make it real. We're full of mistakes. We're full of weaknesses. We're full of backslidings. We're full of all kinds of things. But Lord, make the Word real, because there comes a point in time when you want to see your child take his garment, rent it, and say, woe is me. Lord, I repent. I want that for my grandchildren. I want that for your kids and your grandchildren. Because let me tell you something. That's the beginning of righteousness. All right. Now, in the unveiling of God, 1964. I'm not going to be long now. It's 10 to 6. Watch. Just watch. All right? It's been veiled through the ages according to what God said. He said, and it will be open in the last day. The Word will be open. The promises will be open in the last day. The book will be open in the last day. He promised it. Those seven seals would be broke. The full thing would come into view of the people. Who are the people now he's talking about? What's took place all along? The hour of the seventh angel's message. We know who that is? Right? You know where you are in time? And all the mysteries of God should be made known in that Elijah in the last hour. Now, there are other people that probed at the truth and came real close. They preach well. Spurgeon, Pink, Knox, Finney, Calvin. Still many of those men, I've read them and I read them because I find their insight was great, leading to the point where they almost got it, but they died and left a loose end. There were elements of their teachings that were loose at the end. Not loose as immoral or wrong, but loose where do we go from here? How do we weave that through all of the Scripture? And they'd come to Scriptures and couldn't figure it out. They'd look at their Bible and they couldn't say, now where does that piece go? And they didn't know. It's not because they were bad or evil, but because they didn't have the light that only a prophet gets. Brother Branham comes along the scene, picks up the loose end, weaves it through the Scripture and says, that belongs right here, and this belongs right here, and this belongs right here. And he makes all of a sudden, the full thing had come into view of the people. And where are the people? Hey, where are the people? The people of this, the people of the state of North Carolina don't give a, they don't care at all, really, about what we get excited about. We get excited about the fulfillment of Scripture, right? And the hour of the seventh angel's message, that's the time all the mysteries should be made known. Well, that's Revelation 10, 1 to 7, isn't it? Anyone knows that the world, watch, anyone knows that the world, positionally, everything is set in order for His coming. Earthquakes, diverse places, red volcanic all over. Here's pictures of Hawaii. They say that here's a guy right here, and this picture is kind of blurry, but the idea was that they say the lava is so red, it's unusual. There are unusual things about this volcano series that's now happening. And they say that there's 8 other major places in 2018 where these kinds of eruptions can happen. They're not normal eruptions. I don't think there is such a thing as a normal eruption. But every now and then we are reminded of the great, vast power that exists below our feet. And we go through life not thinking very much about it until, whoa, you had 2 plane tickets to go to Hawaii. And now they're saying, don't come. This is not a place for tourism now. And they're saying, stay where you are. And here's Brother Branham back in 64 saying earthquakes in diverse places, red volcanic all over. As Jesus said, watch for that sign in the last day, sea roaring, men's hearts failing for fear, perplexity of times, distress between nations. Look at the perversion on the move today. Look at it today. 40% increases in California of homosexual natural affections already lost. Hey, wake up. That's 1964. So he's looking at something back then in seed form, and now we're seeing the harvest of that. Let me tell you, I've seen some pictures lately. that would just it would scorch your conscience. I'll tell you what. I sent them some photographs of people that were in protest to some ministers, and they were just, they cut me off their mailing list. Not really, but it was just, it's not something you could show the brashness against God and anything sacred. It was just unbelievable. Feast of the Trumpets. And the reason I sent it was because they're kind of quoting Scripture back in the face of God and how they were dressed, and so it was unbelievable. Or as most modern young people today, they say, it's insane. That's an expression. Anyway, Feast of the Trumpets, 1964. He said, now, this is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. And the seven seals had the mysteries hid of what it all was. And it's supposed to open in the last day, the Laodicean age, at the end of time. Thanks be to God. That finishes the message to the church. So in the cycle of Brother Branham's ministry, a number of things happen, right? Israel comes through the door onto the stage. The message finishes to the church. So there's essentially no more light coming into the church. When they look back and they see what has been, see where it's all brought up to, that finishes it, the age to the church. So now, in reality, the modern church, denominational system church, is groping in the dark. Because if there's no more light, they're groping in the dark, right? And that's the way it is. Now, not the bride, but the church. Because he said on page 148, the Seven Seals book, I no longer call you church, I call you bride. And he made that distinction between the two. So light ceases for the church. Now the bride walks in the light as he is in the light. He says, walk in that light and watch more unfold and reveal itself. He said it will. It will unfold and reveal itself. So the more you walk, the more you see, the more light you have. So now, all of these players that are on the stage, the world stage, are now moving in position. I'll tell you what, some exciting things that are taking place. Tomorrow, there is going to be a ribbon cutting, proverbially, in Jerusalem, where the Americans will begin the establishment of their embassy in Jerusalem. They're not going to move they're not going to open up a new embassy there. The embassy is still in Tel Aviv. They're going to open up a couple of offices in a secure location and move the ambassador there. But all the staff and all the workers are still going to be back in Tel Aviv. They say it'll take 2, 3, even 4 years to build a proper embassy secure in Jerusalem or in the outskirts of Jerusalem for the embassy to actually operate, because they had to be very, very secure for all the eavesdropping and hacking that goes on. And so this is a big and expensive endeavor to do that. But tomorrow is the ribbon cutting, where they're actually going to pull the trigger and they're going to begin that process of doing that. So tomorrow is the day. It happened 9 a.m. Your time. I think it is 9 a.m. our time. Not really going to do a whole lot, except that in the background there are things that are happening that are very interesting. And one of them deals with Iran. And now that there's been political changes in the treaty that was made, it'll be very interesting to see really what happens, because the controls are off them in terms of restrictions in creating a nuclear weapon, an atomic weapon. So this is what the news said yesterday. In the escalating confrontation between Israel and Iran, Israel's defense minister called on Syria's President Assad on Friday to rid his country of Iranian forces based there. So the Israelis said, look, we're firing at them, they're firing at us. If you were smart, and we know you're not, but if you're smart at all, and we know you're not, you would get Iran out of your country, because this is only going to escalate, and you're the battleground. You're the ground that we're going to be fighting on. So if you were smart, and we know you're not, you need to get Iran out of your country, because there's going to be trouble. If Iran keeps pushing, there's going to be trouble. Warning that their presence will only cause more trouble to the already war-ravaged country. Avigdor Lieberman, who is a politician and a very important man in Israel, he commented that these threats also came threats also came from an Iranian cleric that Tel Aviv or Haifa would be in danger if Israel did anything foolish. So they're saying, you better not. And the other ones are saying, you better not. You better not. You better not. And this is how it's going. The problem is that behind these fingers, they're trigger fingers. And both sides have some impressive arsenals. But the 1979 Islamic Revolution, ousting the Shah, ended that. And the revolution's leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, declared Israel to be an enemy of Islam and cut all ties. Now, I know this is true because I was there. I was there when this happened. I was in the deserts of Iran when this happened. And so when it happened, it was no friendly place for Westerners because Mr. Khomeini was very, very adamant at getting all Westerners out and also getting his sights set on Israel. And he was the one that turned his sights, the gun sights on Israel, and had never taken them off. His rhetoric has escalated over the decades since, and Israel considers the government in Iran an existential threat. We all know what the word existential means, right? It means something that is present. It is existent. It is an existent threat. So Israel looks at this as a number one issue to deal with, is now what's going to happen because Iran is like a wild card. Then I told you before to watch Saudi Arabia because they're like a wild card. And so you have a number of very, very rich, powerful wild cards in the Middle East that surround Israel. And Israel's saying, look, guys, if you're smart, and we know you're not, you better back off. You better ease off. Get out of Syria. Just move back from our borders because we are going to protect our borders and no one's going to take us down. I'm summarizing a lot of political rhetoric here and biblical prophecy. Nobody's going to push us into the sea. Nobody's going to destroy us. Now, we're warning you because we're not playing games. If you don't mind, back off. But the Bible says differently. The Bible says that Jerusalem will become a burdensome stone for the rest of the world. Around the neck of the globe, Jerusalem will become a burdensome stone. And more attention is being focused on Jerusalem. And I will tell you something, that they can say those things because whether they know it or not by revelation, the Lord stands with them. And at this point in time, because they're very close to receiving what we have and the bride getting out of here, remember now, what we're waiting for is the closing of the Gentiles, they have enough of a sense of what's right and what's truly happening to say, look, we know where we stand. If you know what's good for you, and if you're smart, and we know you're not, don't push us, because we will retaliate. Let me tell you something. They have some impressive military equipment. They have some impressive stuff. So the other ages, the other nations around the area, the region, they're all very, very concerned about their position, their monarchies. They're interested in resisting any kind of an expansion of Israel or the expansion of democracy in their areas. Like I told you before, if you have a monarchy, you don't want to have elections because kings don't like to be voted on. And so there's a certain order in the Middle East, and Israel stands apart from that order, but they're in the will of God. And so when we say that Israel is a timepiece, it's not only what's happening in Israel, it's what's happening around the nations that surround Israel because they're an integral part of the end time scenario. Are we okay? Everybody all right? Watch. It's 6 o'clock now. But watch. So we have then come to a place where we can kind of summarize and say that the ages have been specific events within a specific season of fulfillment. With 7 messengers. Each one of them had a unique message. That's what we saw. Luther had one, right? And, you know, all the other messengers had one. Paul had one. Jehovah of the Old is Jesus of the New. And, you know, Luther had one. Wesley had one. All the messengers had a specific message. They all had a passage out of Revelation 2 and 3 to guide them. And then God anointed that and brought them through their season of fulfillment during their time. And that's what happened. We know it was different for the last age messenger, but for all of the church age messengers, they were sent with a unique message, which was light from the throne for their time. The seals, though, are a little bit different. They're packets of information which happened through the ages, but the true understanding of them remained hidden until the seals were open. So they only knew by virtue of reading the Bible, they only knew that there was a horse rider, white horse rider, black one, a red one, a gray one. They knew that certain things were to happen during those times, but it took a prophet really to be able to stand back and look at the whole thing and say, all right, white horse stands for this, measure of wheat for a penny, and so forth. That means this. The black horse rider meant this. The gray horse rider means this. Kind of brings it all together. The reason why he can do that is because he's sitting in a very unique position, which is the top of the pyramid. You remember I've told you before, the only way you can see all sides of the pyramid is from the top. I've been there. I've seen the pyramids. They don't cast shadows because of the shape of them, but I will tell you that the only place you could see all sides at the same time is from the top. So here comes Brother Branham in the last stage, and he's in that position up here on the very top. Here's Paul down on the bottom here, and Elijah in the top. And from this vantage point of being at the top, he can look down and say, oh, there's the beginning of the first age, and there's where it went. I'll stop right there. And that's the messenger in that age. And then the second age started here, and it went all the way around this way and all around this way and around, and stopped right here. And then the dark ages, and he's looking at all of that. He's seeing the beginning and the end dates of all those ages. No one else that I know of in all my reading and research, nobody else ever made an attempt to define the beginning and stop date of every age, the messenger of every age, the key message of every day age, and all the details of the ages that we have in the church age book. I've never seen anybody do that. But take note as well that this is not just a history lesson. This is the evolution of Christ in the church. And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. Hey, when a person goes through a new birth, they experience those three elements to bring Christ in behind the veil, right? It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. In the same way through the ages now, Christ himself comes and caps the body. He unites with the body in the invisible union of the bride. It's got to go through all those stages, though. But Christ comes down and caps the body that way until he's not only the cornerstone, but he's the capstone as well. And I'll tell you what. Paul laid a foundation. He said there was other men chosen to build on that foundation, but took a prophet of a special order, if you like, to be able to bring all of that together. And if you like, he was a nut that was threaded a certain way to that bolt to bring it all together and pull it all together and tighten the thing down. We don't have a loose message. We don't have a lot of ideas in here that are floating around. Hey, he kind of locked it down for us and gave us a pretty good understanding of things that were to happen. Let me depart from order here. And let me ask you, does that make sense? Are we okay? Anybody got any questions? Now's a great time. I'm going to give you permission. We're going to lift church order off you about 12 inches. Anybody got a question about this or anything I've said so far? Now's your time. All the seven seals. These are not the seven seals. These are not seven seals. What's that? Seven messengers came all the way from Paul, all down through the ages. Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, Brother Branham, down the end. So every age was allotted a certain message, a certain amount of light, a certain amount of revelation. And in order to bring a revelation, you've got to have either a prophet or a messenger. And so we had two prophets. One was down here on the bottom, Paul. The other one was on the top, Brother Branham, with that Elijah spirit. All in between were messengers who brought a certain revelation or light to the church at that time. Okay? Seals hid the truth of the whole big picture. The seals locked or sealed away the real truth of what was going on through the ages until the end when they're released. And now we get an idea, that's what was happening all the time. This is what the body looks like. This is what Christ was actually doing. And there were horse riders that came out against the church. And there were creatures, the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle, who were allowed to counter those demonic influences in the church through the ages. And then, of course, the fifth seal deals with the Jews. The sixth seal deals with the tribulation, purging of the earth, and then the seventh seal deals with the coming of the Lord. All not in chronological order. No. No, these are not seals. Okay? These are church ages. And a church age has a messenger. Okay? Everybody clear? So this becomes then a picture that only is, again, through the ages, there was people who probably looked at this and looked at the scriptures and wondered how all of this really looks or how it all fits together. And the Holy Spirit allows that to come in the last day. So we go back in the Old Testament, and Brother Branham helped us to understand that a lot of these prophecies already laid there. All the way from Babylon, the mystery Babylon, which is Revelation 18. They shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So there was Daniel sitting back there and looking at the whole prophetic image that laid in front of him and wondering, I see this and I see this and I see an image, and he doesn't really understand it. And the angel says to him, shut it up, Daniel. There's certain things that you see that are not meant to be understood now. But they will be understood. But shut them up now. Seal them up now. And seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And I heard, and I understood not. I heard, and I understood not. Daniel was there watching it. And he said, I don't understand. The angel said, you know what? That's okay. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? How's it going to come then? If I don't understand and all these tremendous things are going to happen in the last day, how will we know? He says, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and seal until the time of the end. So you can see that from the days Daniel said that until 1933, the world and leaders and scholars and theologians and men of God through the ages look for something great to come and reveal what Daniel saw. And bring out what Daniel saw, and all the creatures and the beasts and all the powers that are, all of this stuff coming out, and this great big show of wisdom and understanding and so on. And this is what it looked like. God says, now's the time. Now's the time for the book to come unsealed. And here's a man out in the river, baptizing. He's baptizing. He said, recently I was baptizing in the river in Jeffersonville. And here come right down out of the heavens, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, right there where I was, and said, as John the Baptist was sent to warn the people of my first coming, so is this messenger to warn the people of the second coming. This Brother Bill, down on the river, baptizing people after a revival. And this voice comes and says, this is it. You're there. We've arrived. Wow. And everybody is looking at him and saying, wow? Huh? It's almost hard to believe that this could be that which Daniel was told. Seal it all up, Daniel. All these great mysteries. Seal it up until the end time. And I will send a messenger before my face, and all those mysteries will be revealed in that Elijah. And here he is in the river, baptizing. Working on the power lines, acting as a park ranger, right? And the Holy Spirit's pointing, this is that. This. We've arrived. Everybody. And he's trying to shake the world and let everybody know. You got to pay attention to this. You got to listen to this. And a lot of people said, yeah, right. And went their way because they were moving into cycles of evangelism that the world had never seen before. They'd gone from radio broadcasts to TV. Now we're talking big money. Now we're talking big buildings. We're talking about private jets. We're talking about worldwide evangelism. And here they are running without a message, and they don't even know it. And God's saying, so, the hour has come that every kingdom has to give way because there is the kingdom of God that's established in the human heart by the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the presence of Jesus Christ. So now it's possible. Now he can be a member of that kingdom. And Christ will come to his bride and set up a kingdom here on the earth that will never be diminished. How do you get into this kingdom? You're born into it. You know what he did just right there? He tied together a bunch of loose ends and let us know what the true baptism of the Holy Spirit's purpose is to baptize you into a kingdom that's here, not there, but here in the human heart, to prepare you to go to there. And he's setting up the kingdom now. He's actually setting up candidates for the kingdom now. This is the delegation that goes to the kingdom. And Brother Branham said, this comes because now there's a messenger in place that can do that. So here's Brother Branham telling us now there's three really important points on that timeline. Number one is the first Exodus under Moses. It begins at Moses at the burning bush. The second Exodus began with John the Baptist and winds up with Paul in bringing the church out of Judaism and into the light of Christ. And then we come to the third Exodus here, which is triggered by the event I just showed you on the Ohio River. God says there are three triggering events here that let us know that we're at that point. And in that season, there's going to be something really special going to happen because we're going to turn a corner. And that corner is going to take you to places that, you know what? It's never going to be the same again. This is not same old. This is something different now. Because when they came out of Egypt, let me tell you, they went to a new land. And the Bible says they never went back. They were on a one-way street out of there into the perfect will of God, which is back in the promised land again. And when the New Testament church from the upper room, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit there, and the Holy Spirit came in the room, they never went back to the law again. And when they went back to the law, they were corrected right away. Peter says, hey, listen, as we wrestle with the words of Paul to our own destruction, you got to listen to Paul, because Paul's taking us that way, not back this way. Or not with this and this. It can't be that way. God's either moving forward or backward, one or the other. And Paul is taking us forward. You better listen to what Paul's saying. And this is Peter, who was up in the upper room. And then we have, of course, in the last day, where this message has taken us, thank God, we ain't coming back. Amen. So just like it was in the days of Noah, there was one voice, one message, one means of salvation, and it was the manifested word. But the world says, and the world will say, we have no need of thee. We have no need of your gods. Jesus even said many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we done wonderful things and so forth. In Judges chapter 10, it says, yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. That's what the world's going to find themselves in. Tribulation with no answers to their prayers, no solutions to their problems, and no one who can save them. And you know why? Because they rejected the word of their day. Now look at the contrast of what the bride is doing. Modern events, 1965, Brother Branham prays, Father, as we open the word, speak to us directly out of this word, so that we might know the hour we're living. And if we know the hour we're living, we can prepare for that hour. But if we go in blindly, not knowing what or where, and we don't know how to prepare. If we're walking in darkness, we really don't know. I really don't know where that step is. Right? But if I'm walking in the light, and God is, my heart is open like Josiah's heart was open, and he was tender to what God was saying, my goodness, he's able to prepare himself. He's able to prepare the people. He's able to prepare the temple. He's able to prepare everything for the blessing of God to come and take them on to the next level. And that's what he's doing. And Brother Branham said that's the attitude of the bride, that Lord, open the word to our hearts and open our hearts so that we can know and prepare for the next step. Listen, if you didn't know what the next step was and if you were not being prepared, you would probably be fighting for Israel to get this message. It would make sense. It would make sense for us to be sending message books over to Israel. Because they're Jews, and they're going to receive the message of a prophet. Are you looking at me funny? Listen, Brother Branham thought this would be a good idea. He said, they'll receive their prophet, they recognize prophets, and he's getting ready to get on the plane. Holy Spirit says, hey, not yet. What do you mean? And he goes over behind a Coke machine in Cairo, and he's over there, he kneels down, and he says, Father, what is this? Not yet. Now is not the time. Because if you go, they will. If you go, they will receive you. If they see the sign of the Messiah and they see the discernment and so forth, the gifts you have, they will. But you know what? I still got Levine to come in, and I still got Jackie to come in, and I still got Lincolnton over here to come in. I still got people that are still down the road, and if the Jews come in, it'll be jumping ahead of the program. So don't go now, because they will. And if you didn't know what was going on, you'd think, oh man, we ought to be, like Brother Branham said about Louis Petrus, you know, sending Bibles over to Israel and trying to get them into the faith and trying to get them into Christ and so forth. Hey, you know what? You're spending your money and energy on the wrong thing. You're better off trying to find the last elected seed in the Gentile world, right? Rather than trying to convert Israel. You know what? They got two prophets on the edge of the stage. They're going to come right in and take care of that for you. That's not in your job description. That's not in your commission. Don't worry about it. You deal with the Gentiles and witness to people at your work and at your school and on your street. Let the Jews worry about the Jews here. Let the prophets worry about the Jews. Let Joseph worry about the Jews over there. That's taken care of, folks. I can guarantee you. You know why we know that? Because we're walking in light, not darkness. How do we know all that? How do we say it so confidently? Because the book has come open to us. That's why. So, seven spirits, seven stars in his right hand. Right hand of the arm signifies the power and the authority of God. In that right hand are power, in that right hand of power, are seven stars, who according to Revelation chapter 1 are the seven church messengers. This is great, because he's going through the book of Revelation saying, here's a picture of Christ with seven stars in his hand. Those are seven church messengers. Two of them happen to be prophets, but they're all messengers to the church. This signifies that the very power and authority of God are behind his messengers to every age. You know why? Because God sent them out. He sent them out into the earth. One at a time, he sent them out into the earth. Here's your message, go. And they went out into the earth. So their power and authority is not from men. Their power and authority is from God. And they go forth in fire and power, the Holy Ghost with the Word. They are stars because they reflect light. The light they reflect is His light. The light they reflect is His light. They have no light of their own. Friday night was the day after Jupiter was the closest to the earth in many years. This is a bonus for you. All right, just going to throw this in. Every 8 years, Jupiter circles the sun. Every 9 years, the earth circles the sun. So at some point in the 9 years and 8 years, there's a crossing very close of the earth and Jupiter. If you look in the southeastern sky, you'll see it tonight. It's the bright one out in the southeastern sky, if it's clear tonight. Planets are not up there. Planets are right along the horizon of the Earth. Okay? So they're not way up there scattered. Those are stars and Milky Way and so forth. Planets line up along the horizon a little bit above it. And if you look in the southeast, if that's southeast, there's a bright one there. That's Jupiter. And I know it's Jupiter. But I never saw it in detail until Friday night. We got the old telescope out. Blew the dust off. Peter lined it up for us. I'll tell you what. You couldn't see, by looking at it with your naked eye, you couldn't see the four moons that are aligned in a straight line. Three on one side of Jupiter, one on the other side. Absolutely fascinating. Four moons that are lined up straight across Jupiter. And then when you look closer and focused, you could see details on the planet Jupiter. Phew. Tell you what now, get a fellow excited. Flat, excited. David was looking at it there. Some of you were looking at who were there. Lucas's grad. It eclipsed Lucas's grad. Now let me tell you something. The moons around Jupiter were already there. And they've always been there. As long as Jupiter's been there, they've always been there. The detail on the planet Jupiter is always there. It's cloud formations and things like that, you know, that are they've always been there. They didn't come Friday night. They've always been there. But I never had the tool to see it. Christ has always been there. But we never had the tools to see it until now. What a view. What a view. I'll tell you what, we were flipping lenses. We were putting different lenses in there and trying to make it clearer, bigger, closer, looking at it. Because it's just so fascinating. And once you see it and you realize, wow, this is it. You want to see more. Hey, if we can see Jupiter like that, we can see the moons, and we can see, these are little moons that are floating around Jupiter, and the telescope's powerful enough to pick it up. And you're like, wow, how about Saturn, right? Everybody says the same thing. I want to see the rings around Saturn. Well, you can't see it at this particular time of the year because of the cycles and so forth. It's not close enough to be able to see it. But you know what? I can't wait to see what's next. You understand what God did? Through the ages, hey, Christ has always been there, but they never saw it like now. Because you know why? We got the tool that allows us to be able to see a distance that no one's ever been able to see. In my house, nobody's ever been able to see. And now we can look at that and say, wow, that, look at the detail. Look at the elements of this. Look at how clear it actually is. And it just, when you see it, it just draws you in. It just, oh, I want to see more. Make it bigger. Let's get it clearer. Let's focus in. You want to see more of it when you see it. It's absolutely a fascinating thing. Let's stand on our feet. To me, that's what the opening of the book is all about. Because when it's opened correctly, when you see it right, it just draws you in. It gets you excited. And you say, I want to see more. I want to hear more of this. How many of you, honestly, would like to hear more of this? What I'm doing tonight. Do you enjoy this kind of presentation? This kind of preaching? I mean, there are all kinds of preaching. There's all kinds of preachers and all that. And I apologize. I'm not like everybody else because I'm not. And I've read books on how to change and I failed the course. I got to be me. And I'm sorry. But I'll tell you what. I love something that makes something clear. I love things that make, I see it. And you go away feeling like, I got it. I got something out of it. Did you get something out of this tonight? Really? You just saying that because you're on the front row and your parents are behind you? Did you get something out of it? Did you understand a little bit better? Lydia? Appreciate that. My goodness. What a blessed people we are, because in the other ages, they would go home from church and say, oh, I can't wait till we find out what that means. We go home from church and say, I know what it means. I know what it means. What a blessed people we are. No other age, no other time. Since the early church, did they ever have the Holy Spirit right there telling them, this means that, this is this, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, this is the fulfillment of Scripture and so on. And here we are today in our time. Brother Bram's telling us, all right, this is what this is, this belongs here, this is right here. No other age. Huh. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you, see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. Yes, I want to see you. Sing it again now. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. See. I want to see you. sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. This is my desire. F, I think it was. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. Yes, we are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. Sing that again now. Yes, we are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. And we are people of His kingdom. And we are family. We are one. We are reign with Him forever. On the bottom. And an angel shout and sing. For dominion has been given to the family of the King. Yes, we are heirs of the Father, join heirs with the Son. Oh, we are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Glory to God. Give an offering of praise there. We go to the rock. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I go to the rock of my salvation and go to the stone that the builders rejected. Mountain and the mountain stands by me. And the earth all around is sinking sand. Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, go to the rock. Seeing Jupiter did not eclipse Lucas's graduation. All right? That's my humor, and sometimes I think about that and I think, I got to correct that, because people in South Africa be writing and saying, you know, weren't you proud of your son? I was very proud of Lucas. He walked on Friday night, and we were just honored to be able to witness that. Told my wife after we were done and we were walking to the car, I told her, I said, you know, it's just an amazing thing. She said, what's amazing? I said, it's amazing what you've done. I said, every one of the boys have a degree now. Besides that, you got your associates, your bachelor's, and your master's during that whole time. And taught all those guys. And the greatest achievement is that they're all serving the Lord. I said, that's amazing. That's really amazing. Because she's an amazing person. And did all of that over those years. And I said, that's amazing. And when you think about it, it's pretty amazing. She's special. You know, brides are special. Right? Brides are special people. They're just flat out special. And I'm thankful to be a part of the bride. I'm thankful to have a bride like Sister Becky. You are my strength. You're my all in all. Let's sing that tonight as we go. God bless you, and I appreciate you being here tonight. Appreciate you being with us. I'd really like to know if this kind of teaching, that helps. I really would like to know. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I just would like to know, is that good? Is that the kind of thing that helps? Let me know. I enjoy things coming clear, and I hope you do too. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all. Seeking you as precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all. Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you would bless the assembly, bless every heart. Lord, we want to make sure that we underscore the right thing, and that is that our prayer is not that the words keep us awake or entertain us, but that, Lord, we'd be like King Josiah and tear our garments and realize this is real, this is true, and it should move us and motivate us into action. Father God, we have a true message brought by a true messenger. Every word of prophecy, it will come to pass. It will not fail. Lord, inspire us, I pray. Move us, motivate us in your will. And Father God, we pray again for those that are sick tonight, asking that you would touch and minister, Lord, to every heart, every soul. I commit the people and their needs to you. Bless all those who are traveling, Lord. And we'll ask it not because we are worthy, but because you told us to come and cast our cares upon you. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Singing as you go tonight. Taking my sin, cross my shame, and rising again, I bless your name, for you are my all in all. When I fall down, you lift me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Again now, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Lamb of Shalom, and all is well.